And Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
November 5th, vote for the six concerned citizens who will lead to improve the Onaway Public School District's board. Think of Black Pepper to remember their last names. Bonnard Lefebvre, Christian Kowalski, Palmer Rieger. Again, please vote for Bonnard Lefebvre, Christian Kowalski, Palmer Rieger. Leadership for better schools in Onaway. Thank you.
Paid for by the Presque Isle County Republican Committee.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion today, this Friday, October 4th, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. In the lesson plan for today's discussion, the Constitutional Convention, let's move on to perhaps the next article or the next point you wanted to make in the lesson plan.
Okay, so Article 1, legislative branch, that was the biggie. All right. It was at that point when they were about ready to break up, that's when Ben Franklin called for prayer. Let's dismiss, let's pray. And then they came back, and that's when they got the what's called the Great Compromise, the Connecticut Compromise. Article 2 we've talked about a little bit, which is the executive branch, voted by electors from the states. Electors. They didn't vote for, there was no name on the ballot. You know, I make another point about popular election of president. If you don't care about the Constitution and the intent of the founders, can you imagine if it was popular vote? What if California let in every single illegal alien come to California and you can vote?
Right.
And then California had all these illegals voting in their elections. And it would just, I mean, there might be 10 million illegal voters. Oh, you can't vote in Texas where you are now? Just make your way to California. We'll let you vote. And that would just, we'd never get a conservative president if that's what would happen. Now, California does have pretty liberal policies who gets to vote, but at least it's limited to the electoral votes that they get in electoral college in California, not over the entire country. Do you follow the logic there?
Sure.
If we were to it'd be terrible. Sure.
Well, I've broken it down. I've done research on this. It's not even 24 states, Pastor Chatfield, who would elect our president. It's 24 cities. I actually did the research and figured out, based on the last election, how many cities would it have taken to get to the more than 74, 75 million votes that Donald Trump got in 2020. We're talking Detroit, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. You can go through Atlanta. You can go through and add up the popular vote in those cities, and they would basically be the cities to elect our president. You wouldn't even have to campaign in Michigan anywhere other than the city of Detroit.
The other side makes this argument, because I heard this. Here's what they argue. Well, there's some truth to that. But also, there's people, they would say, that are in rural areas that don't bother to vote. They got a Republican congressman, and they live in Northern California. They don't bother to vote for president because they know California is going to go Democrat anyway. So they would say, they tried to make the argument that this plan would benefit Republicans more than Democrats. Now, I didn't buy that then, and I certainly don't buy it now, because now with the amount of illegal aliens here, a state that had liberal policies concerning voting, virtually anybody could vote.
Sure.
And so, yeah. So regardless of that, Article 3 was about the judges, and there was a lot of discussion, but not as much as over Article 1 and 2. Just let me point this out about Article 3. The presumed power of the courts to declare a law unconstitutional goes all the way back to 1803 in Marbury versus Madison. The idea of judicial review, that the Supreme Court has the authority to declare any federal law unconstitutional, and now any state law unconstitutional, is not in the Constitution. Now, John Marshall, who first evoked that in Marbury versus Madison, and then later Roger Taney in 1857 in the Dred Scott decision. It was only two times in the first, 60, 70 years that it was even tried. The majority of the people didn't want that. Lincoln didn't believe that. Lincoln says this, he didn't believe in that. And it's not in the Constitution, just so you know. The whole idea that the Supreme Court can declare a law unconstitutional. And John Marshall, who believed that it had to be, or he's the one that tried to do it, even he wouldn't have believed that the United States Supreme Court could declare a state law unconstitutional. That's how powerful the United States Supreme Court is now. Not only can they declare federal laws unconstitutional, they now can declare state laws unconstitutional. That's why you hear people say, I'll appeal this all the way to the United States Supreme Court. You couldn't do that before unless sure. It was a federal, unless it was a federal law you were appealing. But now you can appeal state laws. And we've talked about this. This all goes back to the 14th Amendment in the 1947 Everson case, which really expanded the Bill of Rights and the 14th Amendment to include states. Before that, it didn't, and it's a long discussion. It's called the incorporation. It's the incorporation doctrine that whatever the United States Bill of Rights says or the Constitution says, it's now applied to states too. That's why I've always tried to make the argument, and you've heard, and you know I have, that we're not fighting in Michigan for our Second Amendment rights. That's We're not fighting the federal government. Ours is Article 1, Section 6, right? That, our state, our God-given right secured by our state constitution to secure our right to protect ourselves in the state. That's what we fight for. God-given, state, constitutionally preserved rights in our state constitution. All right. So, listener, just so you know, but we've kind of lost that argument. Nobody even knows that. So we all claim our Second Amendment right, which we now know that's what we claim. But really, we should go back to the state constitution and even go further back than that, which is the fact that God gave us the right to defend ourselves. And there's a lot of Christians who do not see that anymore. I was kind of arguing with a pastor friend who does not see that, almost becoming a pacifist in his understanding of things. Definitely not a believer in the Declaration of Independence. All right, Article 4 of the Constitution was power, the relationship between the state and the federal government, Article 4. There are some things that only states can do. That's reserve powers. There's some things that only the federal government can do. That's delegated powers. And there's some things that both states and the national government can do, and that's called concurrent powers. And it tried to delineate that. Okay, the federal government, or it's better to say national government, not federal government. I've lost that argument too. Because here's another argument I lost, or some people lost. When after the Constitution was adopted, signed by the delegates, the Federalists called themselves Federalists and called those opposed to the Constitution anti-Federalists. In reality, they should have been called Nationalists, and the anti-Federalists should have been called Federalists. Because the Federalists, the true Federalists, the people who wanted more states' rights, they were afraid of all the authority that the federal government got. And the biggest thing they argued for that wasn't in the Constitution was a Bill of Rights. And there were a number of states that said, we're not going to ratify this unless there's a Bill of Rights. And they also got put in the Bill of Rights the 10th Amendment. It's, it really clarified Article 1, Section 8, about what is called the Necessary and Proper Clause. I'm losing people here in the weeds, I know I am. But there's a clause that says that the federal government can do all things that are necessary and proper to the execution of the foregoing powers. In other words, it stretched things out. And they basically put the 10th Amendment there and say, whoa, 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 no. Only if the federal government is specifically given the right to do something, the authority to do something.
That's only the one I wanted to get to right there.
Yeah. Only then can you do it.
But only then can the federal government do it.
Right. But it's been based forgotten.
Based on the authority granted to them in the U.S. Constitution. If it's not there, it goes back to the states. It goes back to the people.
Exactly
correct?
Right. Exactly right. And so, but the judges now just have, that's just abandoned. They just have abandoned that. The Supreme Court has abandoned it. And even conservatives say that's an argument we lost. The 10th Amendment and the 9th Amendment are just about forgotten. Nobody even knows what they are. I mean, but the so-called anti-federalists says, and they were key in a few states. This has got to be in our Constitution. We're not going to ratify it. And it was put in, but now the courts have just simply, they go back to Article 1, Section 8, the Necessary and Proper Clause. Say, well, the government's got to do this, and so they're going to do it. And we've been doing it now for 100 years. It's the courts have affirmed that they have a right to do this. And, well, what about the 10th Amendment? Well, I'll skip the 10th Amendment. They don't even view it anymore. It's just the way it is.
Sure. Let me ask you this question. Getting back to this video that I played in the first hour that I sent to you.
Yes.
And the reason I did it is because in the video, they show Michigan with its 15 electors and Minnesota with 10 have already introduced the legislation. It's on the books. It's been submitted by the Democrats last year in 2023. I believe, and I've heard from sources in Lansing, that there's a couple of things that they have on their bucket list that if they lose the majority on November 5th, if the Republicans take back the majority of the House, that they are going to ram through a bucket list of items in the lame duck session. One of them is Michigan becoming part of this national popular vote interstate compact. That would give them 195 they already have on the books, 15 from Michigan, 10 from Minnesota. That put them at 220 in the video. It shows the numbers. They're only 50 electors away from implementing this for our next presidential election in 2028. My question is this. Is there any way that this could be challenged in court, possibly going all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and would they have any basis for declaring it unconstitutional?
That's the question. I'm sure it would.
No. I want your answer after the final segment. I want you to think about it, because I don't think there is. And we'll talk about it. Final segment of today's discussion, Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Schools. Such a simple word, yet schools are far from simple. They are complex systems tasked with academically preparing our children for life. K through 12 students spend nearly 15% of their precious lives in school for 13 years. Schools are the first shift helping build America's future, and school boards are the bridge between community and our education system. On election day, school boards may be at the bottom of the ballot, but should be at the top of all our lists. On November 5th, vote for the best school board candidates that share your desire for better schools for our kids and our community.
From Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Final segment of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. I teed you up and gave you 3 minutes to think about your answer. If they get to 270 in this national popular vote interstate compact that could be possibly used for the 2028 presidential election, it's too late to do it this year. They don't have enough members in the compact. But if they accomplish it, let's say next year, 2025, they're going to get Michigan in the lame duck session after our November 5th election. It's a done deal. They're going to do this. I've talked to enough people in Lansing to know that they are going to do this. They're preparing for it. My question is this, and even Robert Reich mentions it in the video, that it could face court challenges. What would be the legal arguments against it, and why do you think it could be challenged, possibly going all the way to the United States Supreme Court?
Let me say the latter question. Yeah, I'm sure it'll go to the Supreme Court. The Constitution does say they choose elector in a manner which they shall choose.
Correct.
So
it's in Article 2.
Yes. Yeah, so I don't know what the constitutional argument would be against it. If you have one, I'm listening.
There isn't one. I've researched it. I can't figure it out. As an attorney, even though I didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, I've looked at this in every way possible, and it's checkmate. The states can assign their electors in any manner they choose. Article 2 clearly states that. He even got it in the dang video. My question is this, then. If it's not unconstitutional, there's no legal defense against them doing this.
Okay, all right. But let me ask this question. Let's say that Oregon has done it. Okay, so they have. What if Oregon changed their mind and said, we're not going to do it? So Michigan does it this lame duck. But in the next session, or in 2027,
Correct, Michigan because it would be the outcome of the 2026 November general election, a Republican governor, Republican right. House and Senate. We go back to, you know, what we had with Governor Rick Snyder for 8 years. They could undo the agreement to participate in the compact?
Yes. Why couldn't they? Why could they not? So, in other words, and all the states could you have to have a set of people that have done that. And if one of them did it 20 years ago, is that okay? Of course,
right.
But we definitely could undo it. That happened with the Equal Rights Amendment that was back in the 70s and 80s. That happened.
Right.
So you could be undone, I believe. So, but you'd have to do that legislatively. Now, if nobody undid it, I don't know what the argument would be in court.
Sure. Right. Interesting. Well, he mentioned that it could be challenged. And so I'm absolutely positive that he is going to be in a situation to fight this. This is a rich gazillionaire out in California who has paid lobbyists. Solanusis, former chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, former Republican National Committee man, is one of those paid lobbyists who now lives in Washington, D.C. He no longer even lives in Michigan. He's been one of the people advocating for this. He's the one that took our legislators to Hawaii. You're very familiar with that trip.
Yeah. So I've heard.
So yes. You've heard.
Yes.
Not going to go into details, but I got to tell you, it was very interesting. On some of our Republicans took that little jaunt and came back and did not absolutely rule out, and some of them actually signed on to supporting it until they started hearing from people like me and others of my listeners, and then all of a sudden, whoa, stop, I don't support it. So it's going to be an interesting battle, but just
to oppose it. Listen, we've got a system that's worked for us for a couple of centuries. Don't mess with the system. We have a constitution. Let's stick with our constitution. Let's stick with our system. Even if I believed in this whole notion of, which I don't, but even if I believed in it, the damage you do by throwing everything up into upheaval is worse, you know. So let's stick with our constitutional system. Keep with the system that we've got. That's a great legacy that we've got, the way we elect our presidents. Let's stick with it. It's the safest. Now, it may not be perfect. I don't know. As far as I know, it's perfect. I couldn't do any better. But let's stick with it, because stability is worth something. So let's stick with our system.
I'm going to go with what Alexander Hamilton allegedly said, is the Electoral College may not be perfect. It is at least excellent.
Right. And our system is, if not perfect, excellent. Let's stick with the system. Stability is really important. We are fortunate to have a constitution that's worked for us for 230 some odd years. We're fortunate. Let's stick with our system. And by the way, that's kind of another issue that we've talked many times about, a constitutional convention. Yeah, right. Let's stick with our system. I'm not sure. A constitutional convention is a good idea. A convention of the states is a good idea either. Now, I know the arguments for and against, but let's stick with our system. Let's win this next election. That's our best bet.
Amen to that. Well, that's what we're trying to accomplish. PAGS video. We've put this video out about the Electoral College. We're hoping to motivate people to share the information. Pastor Jeff Fail, greatly appreciate the lesson plan. Thank you, sir.
All right, real good, Randy.
God bless. We'll see you on the radio Sunday from 11 to noon.
Right.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
November 5th, vote for the 6 concerned citizens.